Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, how's that? Okay. So Eric Erickson is a developmental psychologist, and he postulated that there were 8 stages in life that we all go through in our psychosocial development. That is, how we relate to ourselves, how we sort things out internally, and also how we sort things out in the relationships that we have with people. For example, the first stage that he suggests is between birth and 18 months, and this is when our children are trying to figure out who to trust and who to mistrust. They're so dependent on all of the adults in their environment, the people in their environment, that they sort that out in those first 18 months. And if they sort that out effectively, they learn to trust. And it's a stage that then builds on as we continue through all the stages of our life. Let me give you another example. The fifth stage is the teenagers, 12 to 18. And I bet it's no surprise to all of you who have been a teenager or who currently are raising a teenager that this is a stage of identity or confusion. Got it, right? I mean, I see my granddaughter totally agreeing with that. Identity or confusion. So you have teenagers in this time of life that are trying to figure out their values, their ideals, you know, who they are, and how they fit in this broader world of people around them. For me, at 72, I'm in the 8th stage. So all of you that are 65, and for me as a Christian, from here to eternity with Jesus, this span of my life is what they call, what he called, that time of life of gaining wisdom, or basically having regrets, you know, trying to sort out what has happened in your life. It's a time in my life, since I'm in this stage, where, according to Erickson, the success of this life stage will lead you to a virtue of wisdom. Ah, right? So keep that in mind as we gray-haired walk around. It's the ability to look back on your life. That's a lot of what happens, according to Erickson, in this stage, where you're trying to put some sense of closure or understanding, even closure with things that have been difficult in your life, and bring that forward into a healthy place that you can look without fear towards the remaining portion of your life. And so right now in my life, what I'm thinking a lot about is my legacy, my story. You know, what in my life do I want to pick up from my ancestors, my forefathers, my parents, and bring it forward to today? And what do I want to pass on to my children and grandchildren and beyond, as Buzz Lightyear would say? You know, what is that? So as I have been through that stage, I remember going through my dad's and mom's house after he passed away, and I'm gonna have my grandson come up and help. And one of the things that my dad passed on to us, no, come on up, Dean. Dean's helping. So one of the things that my dad passed on to us is his love for Adam's salted mixed nuts. And I found this can in his belongings still. And since I have a bit of arthritis now, I've asked my grandson, Dean, because I want to share this with you. Go ahead, open it. Okay, grab it and take it. Thank you, Dean. Yeah. And you can go back to your mom now. Yeah. You can take it with you and go back. Okay. So, what my dad passed on to us was his sense of humor. And this sense of humor carried through the remainder of his life, even when he was just a very short few hours from passing away before he went into went to sleep, and then on into eternity with Jesus, we were still laughing, and he still had this sense of humor. And one of the things I really appreciate about that legacy is my dad knew he was dying, but his point of view about how he faced that death was to look at what Ecclesiastes talks about when it says, however many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. And my dad had this understanding that even in the worst and most difficult of circumstances, you don't deny those circumstances you're living in. But your point of view and how you are framing those circumstances has everything to do with how much in the long run you can enjoy this life that you live. And that was passed on to me. And so I wanted to pass that on to my daughter, son-in-law, and baby Emily. So when Emily was born, Ashley and Corey invited me to come and stay with them at their house and just help them, first grandchild, to help, and their first child, my first grandchild, and help them just with all of this unknown of what it means to bring a tiny baby home from the hospital. And so we had settled down one night, and in my ears, what I heard, this blood-curdling scream from Ashley, "Mom!" And I am like, in seconds, thinking 911. You know, all of these things are going through my mind. And I walk into the bedroom and get this picture. Here is Ashley holding Emily, and there's Corey in this bed, and they are covered in vomit, the bed and themselves. And I walk in the door, and I see this scenario, and I just burst out laughing. It was hysterical. And I honestly think to this day, if Ashley had anything other than Emily in her hands, she would have pitched it at me that day. But I said, okay, I'll take Emily, clean up. And they were frozen. They were just frozen in that situation. So I took Emily, I said, Ashley in to take a shower. Corey, you gotta get the bed, you know, put new sheets on and so forth. So it wasn't long after that that Corey would let me know that Emily was still projectile vomiting, but what he was measuring the arc and the distance that projectile vomiting would go. See, the vomit was still there, right? The circumstances, but how the perspective, right, of viewing it had changed. And I appreciate bringing that forward from my ancestors, from my dad, and those before him into the current, and then passing that on. But what I appreciate most from my family is a legacy of faith in the risen, resurrected Lord. They stood firm, as pastors have been talking to us about the resurrection, on the absolute truth that Christ is not buried in some grave, bones rotting. He rose, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, and he is our Savior and our Lord. And that was a foundational principle of their faith that they lived out for all of us to see, all of us that knew them. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? So from generation to generation, I believe that we pass on a legacy of our faith in Christ by how we live out our faith. Generation after generation, we pass on a legacy of faith. Because you know that personal decision to accept Christ is personal. But we can pass on through the generations a legacy of how we live out that faith in the way we live our lives, in the way that each of us writes our stories, in the way that each of us develops by the time you're my age, and as you go through life, a demonstration of how you live your life by the way you live out your faith. So I want to turn to the passage that June read for us today and look at that again. See, because this holy word that we have, our Bibles, gives us biblical examples that encourage us to be faithful as we write out our own stories through all these stages of life that we go through. So I want you to notice some things that are obvious here in verse 1, Paul. Paul is the one who wrote to Timothy in verse 2 and calls him my dear son. And then in the next verses, he lays out, before we do that, let's go back to verse 1. Let's go on to verse 3. He gives that encouragement to be faithful, and he points out two legacy-building, faith-building ways that we carry our faith forward. And first of all, in verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did. Paul gives a nod, first and foremost, to those that came before him. Those that we have here, remember, he had the full Old Testament. And as he thinks about his spiritual forefathers, he had the Word of God that he knew well, that is part of how he developed his own legacy of faith. But then he goes on in verses 5 to make reference to how Timothy not only receives from Paul through the forefathers to Paul to Timothy, but then also Timothy's earthly family. So you have him saying in verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, one generation, and then your mother, and then on to Timothy. An encouragement in Scripture that it does make a difference on how we live out our lives. And each of us, when we accept Christ, when we stand on the foundation that he is the risen Lord, have this incredible opportunity to pass on from generation to generation through all the life stages from Noah all the way up as you interact with people in your earthly biological families, but also in your spiritual family. Pastor Chris and Sharon often talk about this church being a church family. And there's the truth in that that comes through in these verses in Timothy. And then he goes on to say, and I'm persuaded now lives also in you. And then he shifts and he gives Timothy some encouragement for how to live out that faith. And he does that in, we've got it up there, good. He does that, first of all, in verse 8, he talks about not being ashamed to testify to your faith. In verse 8 and 9, join me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And finally then in verse 13, what you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Jesus Christ. An encouragement to be faithful. Faithful to the truth of the resurrection that we've been privileged to have our pastors be sharing with us. And if I had to sum that all up, I'd look at this passage in Isaiah 38:19. Fathers and mothers, and that's all of us, spiritual fathers and mothers, not just your family, adopted or biological, but tell your children about your faithfulness, about God's faithfulness, and your faithfulness to God. Tell your story, Paul is saying to Timothy, tell your story of God's faithfulness to you and your faithfulness to God. I think it's in a message that it sometimes seems so obvious, but that we sometimes forget. That we are watching each other, that we're building, writing our own stories, and we're passing on a legacy, whether it's the humor my dad passed on, or whether it's the faith that you have, and how you live it out, and how people are watching what you are doing, and the legacy that you are building into them, no matter what stage of life you're in, as those around you watch how you live out your faith. Now, I am very aware that not all of the of your family, your background, your heritage, can match what I've talked about with my dad, and I could say the same thing with my mom, and especially forefathers down the generations on my mom's side. I'm very aware that as you sit here today, that may not be part of your story. But I want you to see something that you maybe never have looked at fully in verses 1 and 2 of this passage. So let's go back to those. In verse 1, we know it's Paul that's speaking. And notice what he says of Timothy. To Timothy, my dear son. Now, Paul was not Timothy's biological father. Timothy came from a mixed marriage, a Greek pagan father, and a mother, grandmother, who was a devoted Israelite, and then she and Timothy's mother became Christ followers. And they had a sincere faith, and Paul commends that sincere faith that was then passed on to Timothy. And then he's encouraging Timothy to pass that on to all those that he meets. I think there's a lot of encouragement to that for those of you that don't have a legacy of an earthly family that showed you what it meant to live in Christ. And I want you to hear that. Some of you may have come from parents that didn't have any saving knowledge of the Lord and may have been very much against it, very much opposed to it. Keep in mind, Timothy came from a pagan father and all that that entailed, and a godly mother. So I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to be encouraged if you come from a family history of alcoholism and abuse, or if you had trauma in your own life, if that is part of your story, I want you to be encouraged today by those two things. Timothy, my dear son. Those three words, I mean. Timothy, my dear son. You have a spiritual family. Forefathers as laid out here in this word of God. That is your legacy. And you may be the beginning of a faith legacy for your family. Whether you are 5 or 85, that legacy of faith and passing on that faith can start with you, no matter what your background is in your family. Do I get an amen to that?
Amen.
An encouragement? Amen. Yeah. And I think it's so significant if you've read over those first few verses of Timothy before, and you go, yeah. You know, Paul looked at Timothy and Timothy went on. Be encouraged by that. The fact that it's not just your earthly family that can be part of your legacy, but this legacy of faith that we know through God's word and the testimony that we have today, looking at Paul to Timothy and beyond. The Bible provides encouragement to the faithful in writing our stories. And I think it's pretty interesting as we look back into Corinthians, just a few chapters before what Pastor Chris and Sharon have been sharing with us, about what Paul says about Timothy. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, Paul is talking to these Corinthians that we've been learning about from that our pastors and will continue to learn about after this sermon today. He urges these Corinthians to imitate him. And then look what he says. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus. He will remind them of Paul's story. Wow. Incredible.